Blog Talk Radio.
I was lost, but you came and found me. You left your throne, thinking about me. You bled and died to show me mercy. Gave your all because you saw my need. I was empty, but you came and filled me. I was blinded, but you helped me to see. I was broken, but you made me whole again. I felt like nothing, but you gave me confidence. And I'm filled with so much gratitude, but words are not enough to explain the magnitude, the passion of my love. Oh, you took everything I want, made me what I am, and with all I am, I worship you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Woman to Woman. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. And as always, it's a blessing and an honor to be with you on today. God is good and worthy. He's worthy. God is good and worthy to be praised. Amen. And I give him the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who he is. Happy New Year. If I haven't said it on last week, if you didn't tune in on last week, you want to go back and listen to the archive. I want to say Happy New Year. Amen. Happy New Year. It's just a great day to be alive. It's a great time to be alive in the kingdom of God. God is ready to reveal himself in a more mightier way. God is just ready to show his power and his prominence, the manifestation of his glory in the lives of his people. And he's looking for some who are willing to submit themselves totally and say, God, send me, use me, send me out into the world. Let me be a carrier of your glory. Amen. Are you one who would say, God, use me for your glory? Well, I am. I just want to get that out there. I am one who will say, God, use me for your glory. And I'm looking forward to great things in 2010. Are you looking forward to great things in 2010? You have to have an expectation. And my expectation is not in people, it's not in things, it's not even in money, but my expectation is in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you have to have an expectation that is wrapped up in Jesus. Amen. So I thank God for you. I want you to get on the phone, go Facebook and Twitter some people and tell them to tune into Woman to Woman. My chat room is not working. I can't get into the chat room right now. I'll keep trying. But the phone lines, you can listen by phone at 646-652-4832, or you can listen via the internet stream by going to blogtalkradio.com/power. I will be taking calls later on in the broadcast. But first I want to talk about, is this man your husband? And how do you know if he's your husband? Amen. I'm going to pray first, and then I'm going to speak on the topic for a few minutes. I'm expecting Prophetess Rosalind Jenny to come in. She has an awesome testimony that I want to share. I want her to share it with you all. So prayerfully, she will call in. And let's see what the Lord is going to do today. So tell somebody to come in and tune in. If you can't come at 1 o'clock, because I know 1 o'clock on a Saturday may be tough for some of you because you have to go shopping. But if you go shopping, take me with you. You can listen on your cell phone and put me on speaker or put a headset and earplug in and still listen and maybe even get to be on the air as you listen. So that's one thing that you can do. I love that about Blog Talk Radio. Another thing that you can do is come back and listen to the archive, because there are other radio hosts that you may be listening to already at the 1 o'clock hour, and I don't come to compete against anyone. I just come in obedience to what the Lord has told me to do. So if you can't listen live, then listen to the archive at blogtalkradio.com/power. You can download it and listen to it later on. Amen. So you're not locked into the 1 o'clock hour, although I do love having that live interaction. It's not absolutely positively necessary, but it's important and necessary for you to hear some of the things that the Lord is going to have me to present. Amen. So I want to start with prayer. Let us pray. Father God, I praise your holy name. Lord, I worship you and I magnify your name on today. I give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, for this is the day that you have made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, Lord, that you are sending women from the north, the south, the east, and the west to hear this Blog Talk Radio broadcast. I thank you, Lord, that women's lives are being changed as a result of what they hear. I thank you, Father, for trusting me with the assignment, Father God, to minister to my sisters. And, Lord, I just ask that you have your way during this time, that you would save souls, change lives, set the captives free, open the eyes of the blind, and give those that need to hear, ears to hear what it is that thus says the Lord. So, Lord, we give this time to you and say, have your way. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Okay, so it seems like Block Talk Radio was having some technical difficulties because I was just kicked off of my own show. But we're going to keep moving forward in the Lord. And today we're talking about how do I know he's my husband? How do I know if he is my husband? Now, if you're already married to the man, then come on, that's a no-brainer. He is your husband. Dictionary.com definition of a husband is a man who is married to a woman, a married man. If he is a married man married to you, then he's your husband. If he's a married man married to somebody else, then he's her husband. Amen. So how do you know if he's your husband? The first is obvious if he's married to you. So this is not a ticket out of your marriage. This is not a free pass to say, you know what, I'm married to this man and I don't want him anymore, so I need to know if he's really my husband. No, that you don't need a prophet for that. If you're married to him, he is your husband. Amen. So that's, let's just get that out of the way before we move forward. How do you know if the man that you're dating or the man that's interested in you is your husband? How do you know if you're supposed to marry this man? You've gone on a couple of dates. You like him. He likes you. He wants to get married, but you're not sure if it's God. How can you be sure that this man is the one that God has sent for you? And, you know, I think a lot of women in the church, a lot of single women in the church are faced with this dilemma. I believe a lot of women are still single because their husband has came and gone. Amen. And it's like the man who was drowning and he went down once and he prayed, God, send me some help. And God threw him sent a lifeboat. Lifeboat came by and said, come on, get on. He said, no, I'm waiting for the Lord. And he went down again. He said, Lord, help me. Send me some help. And a guy came by on the ditch, threw a rope and said, grab a hold of the rope. And he said, no, I'm waiting on the Lord. He went down again and he drowned. And he came face to face with the Lord in heaven. And he said, Lord, why didn't you save me? I prayed. You said you would give me those things that I prayed for. I prayed and prayed. And you didn't help me. You let me drown. The Lord said, send you a lifeboat and a man on the ship with a rope. And you turned both of them down. And both of those situations was me. Amen. So many times we miss the Lord because he's not coming in the way that we think he's going to come. But it's important that we know that God moves in many different ways. And he does not move all of the time in the same way. Amen. So God said, you might be asking God for tall, dark, and handsome, and he might send you short, stout, and strong. And you might say, well, God, I asked you for tall, dark, and handsome. And he said, but I sent you short, stout, and strong, and stable. Amen. And you rather have tall, dark, and handsome, but tall, dark, and handsome can be a dog, can be out there with all kinds of women and not treating you right and not the one that God has for you. But sometimes we will hold out on the one that God sends because we are still looking for the one that we want God to send. Amen. Does that make any sense? Sometimes the right one can be right in front of your face. He can be single, unavailable, working, love the Lord, stable, have his own place, you know, and all of that, and he'll come and want to go out with us, ask you out for a cup of coffee, and you say, I got to pray about it. Let me tell you something. When a brother asks you out for a cup of coffee, and he's just asking you for a cup of coffee, and you're single, and you've been praying for a husband, go out for a cup of coffee. Sit down with the brother. Talk to the brother. Get to know him. Let him get to know you. See if there's some chemistry there. See. God still uses chemistry to put men and women together. You know, I mean, we're not going to be dictated by chemistry, but believe me, I hope if you're considering marrying somebody that there is some chemistry, amen, because if there's no chemistry now, there won't be any chemistry later, and you'll be struggling to not get divorced, because one of the reasons that people get divorced is incompatibility in sexuality. You know, they can't get along sexually. Amen. So it's just important that, not that you try it before you buy it. Don't go and feel like you're going to have sexual intimacy before you get married. But make sure that you're attracted to the man at least. My God. And go out and have a cup of coffee with him and sit down and talk to him. See what's in his head. You know, see what he has in the brain, you know, on the brain. See if he loves God for real. You know, if somebody loves Jesus, you can tell that they love Jesus by talking to them. You know, you have a spirit of discernment, amen. But I want to go into this. Let me just talk about this for a little while before I open the phone lines. And I'm still waiting for Prophetess Jennings to call in. Okay, let's go into this a little bit. I want to go into the book of John. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And we're going to look at the woman at the well. Amen. John chapter 4. And it says here, and that, let's look at verse 3. John chapter 4, verse 3. He, being Jesus, left Judea and departed again unto Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour, so it was about 12 o'clock noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. The Samaritans were considered to be dirty, unclean to the Jews, and the Jews were supposed to have no dealings with the Samaritans. But here Jesus was, a Jewish man, stopping to speak with the woman at the well. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Jesus said, if you knew who I were, you would ask me for something to drink, and I would give you living water. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? And we all know that that living water is contained in Jesus. Amen. That we won't thirst again or be hungry again when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And she says, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Zoe, that's the Zoe that Jesus talked about in John 10:10, that the thief comes but still kill and destroy, but I have come so that you might have life, and life everlasting, life overflowing. Zoe, life, amen. springing up, so that anytime you felt yourself getting thirsty, that God would, Jesus on the inside of you, that the Holy Spirit would replenish that thirst, would quench that thirst for whatever it is, for whatever it is in life. Jesus is enough. Amen. Verse 15, the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to drink. And here Jesus broke out and said, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman had to become a little transparent here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. So Jesus said, you told the truth. You are a little transparent, but let me just prophesy to you. Let me just tell you something for the word of knowledge. You have had five husbands. You have had five failed marriages. And the man that you're with now, he's not even your husband. You know, he might, I don't know if he was somebody else's husband. I don't know if she was just in a shacking up. But Jesus said, he's not your husband. And so you are told the truth. And the woman, you know, said unto him, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what we know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. For the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know the Messiah is coming. And then he says, but that you are speaking to him. I that speak unto you am he. Amen. So I read all of that to say that this woman, God knows where you are. God knows where you're standing right now. This woman had five husbands, and she was living with a man who was not her husband. She had no problem getting a man. And, you know, some of us were like that when we were in the world. When I was in the world, I had no problem getting a man. I had no problem with a man wanting to keep me. My problem was with me wanting to keep a man. Because I would kick him to the curb. I would break up with him anytime that I felt that he was getting close to me, because I felt that if he got too close to me, that he would know me, and I did not want him to know me. Amen. So here, because I thought if he knew me, he would reject me. Let me just put that out there. So many of us are afraid of being close to someone, because if we feel that if he knows us, then he wouldn't really love us. We feel that a lot of people, they knew the real us, would not want us. You know, I don't know who am I talking to. When you're a little bit intimidated, you're a little bit insecure, your self-esteem is a little bit low, that you're not sure that the man really knew you for who you really are, if he knew you of all your imperfections and idiosyncrasies, that he would still love you. And I had that problem. I was married for 7 years before my husband really knew me. Amen. I got married in 1998, and it was 2003. So 6 years. No, I got married in 96, and it was 2003 before my husband really knew who I was. So 8 years this man lived with a stranger, because I hoodwinked him. I bamboozled him. I deceived him long enough for him to believe that I was somebody that I wasn't. You know, I made him believe that I was a confident, self-assured woman, but really I was a scared little girl who was hurting on the inside. Did you hear what I said? I bamboozled him. Sometimes we get mad at the man when we marry him, and we realize that he's not who we thought he was, but in reality, we're not who he thought we were. You know, you're not who your husband thought you were when he married you, if you're already married, and you're not really who the brother who's been checking you out, the man who's been checking you out, you're really not who he thinks you are, because he hasn't seen the real you, you know. And here, as I showed you with the woman at the well, she did not reveal all of herself to Jesus. She She just told him a little bit. She said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, woman, tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You don't have five husbands. You have had five husbands. And the one that you have right now, he's not even yours. So just tell the truth. And one of the things that we have to do if we really want to meet our real true husband, if we really want to be happily married, is to be true to ourselves. Amen. So you have to be true to yourself. Let the real you come through. Look, stop hiding behind the mask. Stop shucking and jiving, as we called it back in the day. Stop pretending. Stop perpetrating. Stop being a hypocrite, pretending to be somebody that you're not. So if you really want to be married to the man who's for you, let him marry the person that he's going to be married to. So do you want, are you ready? Are you even ready to be married, or do you still have issues? You know, so many of us still have issues that we are not even ready to be married, but we're praying and asking God to send us a husband. So the first thing that we need to do is get rid of our own issues. No, the first thing that we really need to do, I'm going to backtrack on that, is get into a relationship with God. Because here Jesus at the well, talking to the woman at the well, he talked to her about having a relationship with the Father through him. See, and even now we have to have a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. So if you really want to be a wife, if you really want the right husband and not just some man who's coming along trying to take advantage of you, some man who's coming along to put you through a whole bunch of nonsense that can be avoided, the first thing that you want to do is be in relationship with God. So be in relationship with God, the Father, through Jesus Christ for yourself. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Get the spirit of discernment so that you will know the wolf in sheep's clothing when he comes. Amen. So the first thing you want to do is be in relationship with God for yourself. The second thing that you want to do is let God, through Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Ghost that dwells on the inside of you as a new believer, let him heal you of your issues. Issues are sick, like the woman with the issue of blood. She spent so much time, and the woman at the well and the woman at the issue of blood, they're kind of similar to each other because they both spent a lot of time trying to find what they needed in men, trying to get what they needed from men. And as we can see from this parable about the woman at the well and also the woman with the issue of blood, man could not do for them what Jesus could do. Amen. Only Jesus can heal you of your issues. Only Jesus can quench the thirst. Amen. So we're looking to quench the thirst at other places, but we need to let God heal us from the inside. Amen. And then we will be radiant on the outside. So another way that you know that you're getting a bona fide man of God is to let God heal your issues so that you're not looking for that man to fix you. So often we get married and want the man to fix us, or we want the man to fix it, whatever it may be. It might be my daddy walked out on me. It might be I was rejected as a child. It might be I was molested or mistreated or mishandled as a child. I was dropped. Somebody dropped you, like Mephibosheth was dropped, and for so many years he was crippled. And the same thing happens with us as children. Something happens and we grow up crippled. Those are our issues. We have these issues that we carry with us through life and we're not whole. So let God make you whole before you start talking about being married. And if you're already married, it's not too late to let God make you whole. Instead of looking at your husband saying, God fix him, look in the mirror and say, God fix me. Amen. And I guarantee you, you will be happier when you have your relationship be parallel first, first vertical with God. I want my relationship to be vertical. Vertical with God, I have a relationship with God, and then horizontal with man. Amen. So once your relationship with God lines up, then you know that he will send you your husband. Amen. Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So another way that you know that he's your husband, he's looking for you. You know, so often we after men in the church. A man will walk into the church, and it's been said that women, all the single women, will say, "He's my husband." I haven't had that experience. I don't know if you have or not. Some people will testify that they have seen a man and just knew that that was their husband. But you'll know that if that man is your husband, if he's come towards you, if he's looking for you, if he approaches you, amen. The story of Ruth. Ruth proposed to Boaz. So, you know, the Bible said he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Well, a lot of people will say, well, Pastor Rebecca, Ruth proposed to Boaz. Yes, she did, but Boaz saw her working in the field and said, who is that woman? Amen. And that's what will happen with you. Your husband, when he comes, will see you working in the harvest field, in the field, and he will say, who is that woman? Amen. And he will want to know you more. And that's what I was talking about earlier in the broadcast when I said, if he asks you out for a cup of coffee, my God, go for a cup of coffee. Even if he wants to have dinner, meet him at the restaurant. See, I'm from a different mindset. I believe you can't know if he's your husband if you never get to know him. Don't look at the external appearances of him and say, no, he's not the one. I know too many anointed men of God who are looking for wives, but women are turning him. Single Christian women are turning them down. They won't get to know these men, and I want to know what the problem is. So I'm going to open up the phone lines. I tried to open up the chat room, but we're having problems with the chat. But I do have a caller on the phone lines. I don't know if it's my guest. I was waiting for a prophetess to call in, Rosalind, to call in. I don't know if this is her, but I'm going to open up the phone lines and talk to you. Amen. I want you to call in. And if you don't want to talk, that's okay. You can just say, Pastor Rebecca, I don't want to talk right now, because that hung up when I said I was going to open up the phone line. So she really didn't want to talk. So let me just keep going. The phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. You can call in and talk to me about this topic. Why are so many single women in the church still praying and asking God for a husband? Why are so many single women still in relationship with men who they know are not their husband? Why are you settling for less? You know, here's another scenario. This woman with the issue of blood was in a relationship with a man. That means that she was in relationship with him, and he was not married to her, and it looks like it was an illicit relationship. It looks like it was fornication. I'm just guessing. It doesn't say that in Scripture. So I'm not saying homiletically or hermeneutically that was correct, but she was in a relationship with a man who's not her husband. And so here she was getting ready to marry maybe another man, which was going to end in divorce. And how many of you know that divorce hurts? Divorce is not pretty. Divorce is not pleasant. Amen. And divorce is not part of God's plan for our lives. As a matter of fact, God hates divorce, because when we get married, we become one, amen, and we bind together as one, and we become one flesh. So a divorce is a tearing away of part of your flesh. So now you have to go through the healing process all over again before you can even think about getting married to somebody else. So that's why healing is so important. So the first thing that you have to do is you have to make sure you have a relationship with God. The second thing that you have to do is to make sure that God heals you, okay? So let's look at 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. And here it talks about marriage. That whole section in 1 Corinthians 7, starting with verse 9. So why should I even be married? Why can't I just shack up? Here's the answer. 1 Corinthians 7, 9, Paul is writing, but if they cannot contain themselves, if they burn in their flesh, let them marry. For it's better to marry than to burn. to burn, to have that sexual desire that cannot be fulfilled. It's better, he says, to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest I speak, I, not the Lord. Now this is Paul speaking, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife that believes not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which has a husband that believes not, if he be pleased to dwell, let him stay. If he wants to stay, let him stay. But if the unbelieving husband, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. And in the verse 15 it says, if the unbelieving depart, let him go. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. You know, and that should be freeing to some of you who are unequally yoked. Let him go. You know, but Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 7, now go back to verse 2, it says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. We have to get married if we have a desire to be sexually intimate. Amen. It says to avoid fornication. Now, what is fornication? The Greek word for fornication is porneia, and it means illicit sexual intercourse, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, intercourse with animals, sexual intercourse with close relatives. That's fornication. And the Bible tells us to avoid fornication. And Paul says one of the ways, the only way to avoid fornication is to get married. Because once you're married, then you are, the marriage bed is undefiled, amen, and marriage is honorable unto God, amen. So I pray that this is helping you. You're not married just because you have had sexual intimacy with him. So, well, we are married spiritually. No, that's why they have marriage licenses. If the brother can't commit, then he's not the one. If the brother won't commit, then he's not the one. Stop waiting for him to come around. Oh, I'm just waiting for him to make up his mind. One day he's going to marry me. Well, then you need to stop having sexual relations with him until that one day comes, according to the Bible, because you're cutting off your blessings by allowing yourself to be shacking up or to be in fornication with someone, amen, who I mean, he's getting all of the benefits. My mother used to say, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? Now, I'm not saying that you're a cow, but what I'm saying is that you're giving away something for free that can only, that you, there's a price that should be attached to that, and that price is marriage. Amen. And back in the old days, the men have to bring a dowry. They had to give something in exchange for getting the wife. Amen. The man had to have something. I like the book of Ruth, where Ruth asked Boaz to marry her. She was like, well, what's up, Boaz? I like you, you like me. I need you to redeem. I need you to be my redeemer. I need you to marry me. And Boaz liked her enough. He really wanted to be with Ruth. And he said, okay, but first there's someone else that, you know, has the right to marry you first. But if he does it, I will. And Boaz was a man of integrity, but not only was he a man of integrity, but he had something. Make sure that the man has something. Come on. Make sure he has a job, a J-O-B, or a business, career, amen. You don't want to marry a man who has nothing, amen. When I met my husband, when I met Pastor Anthony, he didn't have a whole lot of money. So I'm not saying that he has to have a whole lot of money. But what I'm saying is make sure he has, and I hate this word, but I hate to use this word, but I'm going to use this word. Make sure he has the potential, amen. Make sure he has the potential to make some money, amen. And the potential means that he has to be willing to work. He has to have a mind to work. You know, going back to the book of Nehemiah, the men had a mind to work, amen. The Bible says a man who won't take care of his family, who won't work and take care of his family, is worse than an unbeliever. Amen. So you want to make sure that he works, because the man, a husband, is not only a married man, but biblically, a husband is priest, provider, and protector. Amen. So it's his job to be a priest, a provider, and a protector. That does not mean you don't work, but it just means that you don't want to just get married so for somebody to take care of you. I pray that you will pull together, that you have something to bring to the table, and that the two of you together can do something. Amen. Well, I don't have any callers right now, so I'm going to keep talking. The phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. I can't open the chat room. There are technical difficulties. But let me go into some practical application. How do you know if he's your husband? Another one, you're attracted to him, amen, and he's attracted to you. He has to know that you're his wife. That's one way that you know that he's your husband. Again, if he's looking for you and he knows that you're the one that he's been looking for, he has a mind to get married. You know, there are men out there, they have no mind to get married. They don't want to get married. You don't want that man. That's not the one that you, that's your husband. If you have to make him marry you, chances are he's not your husband. If you've been in a relationship with him for 10 years and he refuses to marry you, then he's not your husband. He's not anybody's husband. He doesn't want to get married. And he definitely does not want to be married to you, because you've been giving him everything for free. You've been in a relationship for 10 years, having a sexual relationship with him, washing his clothes, fixing his dinner, taking care of his kids. Guess what? He's not going to marry you unless you put your foot down, unless you make a stand. If you're shacking up, the first thing you can do is get your own place. Say, the Lord called me out of here. I have to get my own place if we're not going to get married. And don't let him just say, okay, baby, I'm going to marry you. But no, go. Let's go buy the ring. Let's go buy the ring. Let's get the marriage license. Let's go to the church, go to the chapel, and get married. Going to the chapel, and we're going to get married. Going to the chapel, and we're going to the chapel. You don't have to have a big, elaborate wedding. Just go see the preacher, get your counseling. Oh, that's another thing. Get premarital counseling. We highly recommend it. Do you know that your husband-to-be and yourself are on your best behavior before you get married? It's only after you get married, as I talked about earlier. It was almost eight years before my husband knew who he was really married to. It's only after you get married that you find out who you're really married to. He knew I had issues, but he didn't know why I had these issues that were so devastating to the early years of our marriage. We went through a lot of problems in the early years of marriage. Amen. So you don't want to fall into that trap either. Amen. So you don't want to be in fornication. So you know you need to be married. Again, let's look at another scripture, 2 Corinthians 6, chapter 6. Why did this woman have so many issues? I'm going to show you. The woman at the well that we were talking about earlier, why did she have so many issues in her marriage? 2 Corinthians 6:14. Here it is. Here it is right here. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord have Christ with Belial? Or what part have he that believeth with an unbeliever? And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So another way you know if he's your husband, he's in the church. He's not just in the church, but he too has a relationship with the Lord. Amen. He has to have his own relationship with God. Amen. And more important than him having a job is him having a relationship with the Lord. Amen. He can't just be a believer. I believe in God, but he never goes to church. Come on. A real worshiper who worships God, as we read in the book of John, a real worshiper will worship God in spirit and in truth, which means that you will see evidence of their worship. Amen. They will go to church every Sunday. I'm just putting it out there. A lot of people will say, well, I don't have to go to church to be a true worshiper. Well, the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling together of ourselves. So you have a gift, spiritual gift, that's been imparted unto you for the church. A real worshiper worships God with all their heart, their mind, their soul, their strength, with everything in them. So a real worshiper will be at the church using whatever gift they have on the inside of them for the edifying of the body. So I want you to think about that. I'm not saying this to be smart, but I want you to think about that. If you say you don't have to go to church to be a real worshiper, you do have to go to church to be a real worshiper. You have to be in the fellowship of the saints. You have to worship God in the sanctuary. Amen. And you have to worship God outside of the sanctuary. So, you know, it's twofold. Is I'm going to worship him in the church, and I'm going to be the church in the marketplace. Amen. So you have to go to church to be shepherded. You need a shepherd. You need a pastor. You need somebody to pour into your life. You need somebody to cover you. Amen. For accountability. Amen. Praise God. There are no parts of the body that can operate outside of the body. Amen. So make sure that the man that proposes to you, the man that you're thinking about marrying, how do you know if he's your husband? If he's a worshiper, if he has an experience with God through Jesus Christ and is filled with the Holy Spirit. Very practical, very simple. There's nothing profound about this. I don't believe in creating stuff. I believe that God's word is enough. Amen. I don't have to recreate anything. I'll tell you in the beginning, I didn't read that much of my Bible, and my marriage was sheer hell. It was only when I began to get into God's word I was able to get delivered, because the more word that came in, the more the devil had to flee. Amen. When God comes in, demons flee. When Jesus comes, demons have to bow down. Amen. So I was delivered the more word I put in my heart, the more word that I read, the more word that I heard, the more word that I repeated, that I meditated upon. Amen. So your husband, you want to be equally yoked, amen, with a believer, with somebody who's on the same page with you. And if you're a spiritual Christian, you sure don't want to be yoked up with a carnal Christian, because if you're a mature Christian and you yoke yourself up with a babe, you're going to have some trouble. You're going to have some trouble. I'll just put it out there. Because they're not on the same page. They're not on the same level. They're not going to be able to comprehend. They're still working some stuff out if they're babes in Christ. Amen. And if they're carnal, my God, they might not even want to be spiritual. So you have to deal with that as well. Amen. Well, we have 10 minutes. You can call in at 646-652-4832. I'm going to keep going because I want what God wants to do, and what I want to do is help you to avoid being in these relationships where you are unequally yoked, amen, where you are crying yourself to sleep at night, where you are chasing him down or cursing him out because you found phone numbers in his wallet. How do you know if he's your husband? You can trust him. You don't have to search through his wallet. You know, we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and the Holy Spirit will tell you if he's right or he's wrong. You will get all kinds of red alerts going off on the inside of you if he's the wrong man. And please don't let somebody come to you and say, the Lord told me that you're my wife, amen, and you're not witness, you don't bear witness to that. If a man comes to you and he says, the Lord told me that you're my wife, don't just marry him on that. Please, please don't marry somebody that comes to you and says, God told me that you're my wife. That happened to me. I was waiting for Prophetess Jenny to call in. She didn't get a chance to come because she has an awesome testimony. But let me give you my testimony. That happened to me. I was a baby Christian, and before I was a Christian, I met this evangelist, and I'm going to close with this story. Before I was a Christian, I met this evangelist one day. I was introduced to this evangelist by this guy that I used to party with, and I was snowbound, which means that I was snowed in. My car wasn't working. It was a lot of snow on the ground. I was getting ready to take the train home, but this guy offered me a ride home. And because he was introduced to me formally, I accepted the ride. As I was riding home with him, the guy began to evangelize me. He began to tell me about Jesus and ask me if I ever considered having a personal relationship with Jesus. I was saved. Then he dropped me off, and he invited me to church. I told him that I didn't go to church, but I told him to pray for me. And he asked me because he had my phone number. I gave him my phone number. So the guy kept calling me up, inviting me to church, and I kept saying, pray for me. I don't go to church. I'm a party girl. So I kept partying, and he kept praying. Oh, hey, my God, hallelujah. I thank God that he kept praying because the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. And this guy eventually was able to come. When I did get saved, I was going out to party one night, and I met my husband. I met Pastor Anthony in the Vanity Club in North, and he also invited me to church. So you see, I'm partying, the evangelist is praying. I meet Pastor Anthony, he invites me to church. I tell him I don't go to church, and I don't even ask him to pray for me because I figure this other guy's prayers might be working because he had me a church boy in the bar, amen. So he invites me to church, so I said, okay, and I go to church with Pastor Anthony. I get saved. Now, the evangelist is still praying for me, so I get saved. I get water baptized. The evangelist and Pastor Anthony, I'm dating neither one of these two men. Both of them are at my baptism. So the evangelist is at my baptism. So that Sunday, I get baptized. I'm dating now. That Sunday, I start dating Pastor Anthony when I got baptized. I'm sorry, I was dating him. So that, and I really like Pastor Anthony. So that Sunday, I get baptized. Both of them are there, the evangelist and Pastor Anthony. So the next day, the evangelist shows up on my job, and he says to me, I'm so glad that you got saved, that you got baptized, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, now I can tell you what the Lord has revealed to me, that you're my wife. And I said, I'm not your wife. I said, no, I'm not your wife. The Lord didn't show me that. That was not bearing witness with even my young spirit. That was not bearing witness with me. And I said, no, I'm not your wife. The Lord didn't show me that. And he said, well, I'm the reason that you got saved. And I said, no, don't you dare take God's glory. You're not the reason I got saved. God is the reason that I got saved. Jesus is the reason I got saved. You might have prayed for me. You might have shared in praying for me, but you do not get the glory for my salvation. God gets the glory. So even in my young spiritual mind, I knew that it was the wrong answer. I was not his wife. And wrong answer, he was not the reason that I got saved. So don't be deceived by wolves and sheep's clothing, men who are looking to take advantage of you, telling you that the Lord said, you're my wife. If you're not bearing with that, if you have no attraction to him, if there's someone else in the picture who has proven himself to be a man of God who is pursuing you and you believe that that's what, then hold out and keep praying and asking God, is he the one? Amen. And that's my last point. Pray and ask the Father, is he the one? Look, don't let yourself be the freak of the week. I was listening to a broadcast last week. I don't know where I was listening, but the brother said that he used to go to church to find a freak. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? He said that the girls in the church were wilder than the girls in the world. And like I said, I have no experience with that. I hope it's not true, you know. But let it be said of you. You know, a man will come from outside. He will come to church with you. He will go take you to his house. He will push up on you, push some buttons, you know, rub on you, your body, get you all hot and bothered, get you to go to bed with him, and then turn around and call you a freak that he found in the church. And don't let that happen, woman of God. Do not let that happen. Don't. I already talked about it. Let me just go through the points real quick. First, have a relationship with God. Have your relationship with God through Jesus, God the Father through Jesus, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Second, let God deal with your personal issues so that you're not needy and so that you're not desperate and so that you're not crazy or stupid when you're about to enter into a relationship, so that you have a spirit of discernment. Let God deal with your issues so that you're not looking for a man to fix your life. Amen. The third thing, you have to be married. Avoid fornication until you are married. Avoid fornication. As Paul says, the reason I tell you to be married is to avoid fornication. Don't lay down with somebody. Don't sleep with this brother until you get married. And I know that's hard. We'll talk about that. How do I keep myself from sleeping with him? You know, that's something, it's easier said than done. Don't sleep with him. Amen. Don't shack up with somebody. Avoid fornication, because fornication often leads to shacking up. Don't shack up with the brother. Don't move in. Don't let him move in with you. Amen. Don't sleep with him. Amen. The next one is to not be unequally yoked. Make sure that he knows the Lord. Make sure that he loves the Lord. Make sure that he's a worshiper. Make sure that he has a relationship with God. Amen. And then there's some steps to take to get to that point. Make sure before you get married that you're ready to submit. Because another definition of husband is the master of the house. He's the priest of the house. He is the head of the house. If you're not ready to submit, then you don't need a husband. Or make sure you get a husband who doesn't mind you being the boss. But then he's not really a husband, is he? Let him be the head. Anything else is out of order. Amen. And we'll talk about that. I'm going to stay on this for a couple of weeks because I want to talk about this freak of the week stuff and, you know, all this stuff that's going on with brothers are looking at women in the church and why sometimes our being sexual messes up our witness. Amen. How can I get him saved? Okay, he's not saved. I'm going to get him saved, but I'm going to sleep with him. You can't do that because your witness is messed up. Amen. So how do you know if he's your husband? If he'll wait for you. If he won't, he might try to have sexual intimacy with you, but when you say no, he respects that. When you say, I want to wait until I'm married, he respects that. If he says, well, if you don't do it, somebody else will do it, then he's not your husband. Amen. If he tells you, I got to have, then he's not your husband because he's not willing to honor you as his girlfriend. He surely won't be able to honor you as his wife. Amen. And if he goes away, let him go. Amen. Another thing, if he's not a believer, don't be unequally yoked. Because if he's not a believer, you're going to have, and you marry him anyway, you're going to have a lot of problems in your marriage. Amen. Amen and praise God. Well, that's it. We have 58 seconds left. I want to thank you for listening. Go back and listen to the whole archive. If you're thinking about getting married, listen to the archives. I gave some very practical advice during my time here. Amen. Also some very spiritual advice based on the biblical advice that can be put to practical use. Amen. Don't let yourself marry the wrong man. Amen. God will show you your husband. When he comes, you'll know it. Amen. Amen and praise God. I married Pastor Anthony instead of the guy who said, Lord says you're my wife. that was not my husband. Pastor Anthony is my husband. Amen. I'm so glad I waited, and I pray that you too will wait on the Lord. So wait on the Lord and be in good courage. This is Pastor Rebecca. I'll see you next week at 1 o'clock. Amen, and praise God. God bless you. Go and serve the Lord.
This is my testimony, everybody, how God favored me in spite of my enemies. And if God did it for me, he'll do the same thing for you. Don't worry about your haters. Your haters can't do nothing with you. Listen to these words.